T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'll tell you who's on my Mount Rushmore of teams that need to be contracted. And that is...
I'm all ears.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay.
Get them. Gone! Hit the pike.
Send them to Seattle. Yep.
I want the team I just talked about out. The Baltimore Orioles. They're gone.
With their great history and the beautiful ballpark?
Stop it. Earl Weaver on line one.
Man.
When's the last time they won anything? It's not about history. It's about, and you
Jim
know what,
Palmer.
Goo? You know what? Now that you said it, Goo, get the Pirates out. Get them out.
Man.
Get them out.
Family.
Hey, whoa. Yeah, that ain't.
And then
happen.
The last team that needs to hit the pike, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thank you very much.
Wow.
That's gone. Football, you know what? Hit the pike, Jacksonville. Jacksonville's got to get out of here. No doubt about it.
I hate to be a stickler, but you're into the Reagan spot now. You already erected your mount.
Man.
You declared it a mount, and you already had your four. So if you want to do a top 10, or if you want to frame it in a different way, go ahead. But, you know,
I'll give you one. Can I give you one, fellas?
Sure.
Give it
to
me. No,
you're right.
We got 4 hours.
No, you're right.
It's the Rays. The formerly known as the Devil Rays. If you want to torture your boy,
they're
Goo,
in first place.
Make me watch. This is how I want them gone. Watching a game, whatever that is of a stadium, is torture. There's two things you could torture me with: making me watch the movie Titanic. You know how it ends as soon as you start it, and watching a home Rays game. Dibs, it makes you want to reach for a knife. It's
so
the
cold.
Most depressed. They got that great team. Steiny, it is the worst thing you call a stadium I've ever seen. It's depressing, man.
Okay, yeah. I got a big problem now. I've got a big problem. When I said Dodger Stadium was the best stadium in baseball, and Dibs goes, you ever been there? And I said, no. How many times have you been to the Trop? How many times have you been to the Canna?
How many times have you been to Florida? It's a bigger question.
I went to Disney World, Dibs, a couple years back.
Shout out Orlando.
But Stoney, I haven't been. I'm talking about what it does on TV. The ambiance. And I look around. I ain't dumb. I know what it – come on. I've seen playoff games. It's nasty. And then the ball can hit something up at the in the ceiling? Come on, man.
You need to contract the Marlins before you contract Tampa Bay.
And they won a World Series.
Two times. They got the two-piece. But, you know, to Steiny's point, history is ancient history.
Yeah, and the you got it. Since I'd have to take two in football, I'd take the Jaguars. Obviously,
you had a whole list, Steiny.
People will not like this one, but you know who you can get rid of at this point? The Jets. The J-E-T-S.
I'm out, Steiny.
They stink.
Joe,
they stink.
Name it?
They stunk for.
I want to kiss you.
That doesn't mean you erase his history. I mean, for God's sake, we still talk about Sean Kemp and Gary Payton, and there's no Seattle Supersonics.
And rightfully, you should. Well, the Thunder are the Sonics, right?
Yes.
Like the Ravens are the Browns. The old Browns. The original Browns, Dibs.
Yeah.
You follow me. Like
with football, I'm more into expansion than I am contraction. Football's like pizza. Yeah. Can't get enough of it. And even the worst pizza, it's still pizza. It's still, I mean, you could, I'm not going to disparage any chain by saying you're the worst.
Because I have a few.
Well, and I'm not into name calling on a Payday Friday, Goo, but take whatever pizza you consider to be the worst one you can get. It's still pizza, and you're still eating at least four slices. So that to me is the same thing as the NFL.
I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days.
I don't know why you always play that drop. You love that drop. It's a terrible drop.
And who is it?
It's Papa John. You haven't seen that interview? I highly recommend it.
Papa John is a scumbag, and you continue to play that drop as if he's, you know, a former president of some repute.
We're laughing at him, Dibs, not with him.
So, gotcha.
Do it, Steiny, do it.
Quite three hours, baby.
It's not quite a gripe, but you mentioned pizza, all right?
Oh, boy.
The other day, a week or two ago, we're at a party, and, you know, we're out in these people's deck. And we got it. No, it's not raining.
At the World Series game. I'm sorry, Steiny. Yeah.
Yeah, and we got base runners, Pennsylvania top four. But go ahead. It's a great story. It's so good that I'm locked in on the rain and the pitching change.
And I think pineapple's a part of it. Go ahead, Steiny.
I think the Oregon coach is trying to slow play it, Goo, because they got rain, and he doesn't want to go to the bullpen. But go ahead.
Steiny, we're all ears, man. Come on.
Yeah.
So,
do they have tarps at Williamsport? We got questions. Go ahead, Steiny. You're having pizza.
And the pitchers look like Ramon Martinez, not Pedro. But go ahead, Steiny.
Oh, my bad. You're probably right. go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, I'd say there are about 30 people there, maybe 14 adults, 16 teenagers. And we're going to let's get some pizza.
Yeah.
So here comes the pizza. And there must have been 12 to 15 pizzas.
Man.
All right? Whoa. We start opening them up. Gluten-free, vegetarian, mushroom, cabbage, pineapple, everything under the sun except that damn plain or pepperoni.
As an Italian, I'm offended.
Man.
What did you do?
Pepperoni slid in the pizza draft like Aaron Rodgers.
I wouldn't have had a piece to send a message, damn it.
I got myself a plastic fork. And I flicked every olive off the olive pizza and had it. But you know what? You can still taste a little of the olive, oil.
I don't like any of it, to be honest
with you. Actually, it worked out well because I only had one slice of pizza, and it was a thin slice that night. Usually I will engorge on a night like that. So
cabbage and pineapple, Dibs, that ain't right.
Oh, you know what else? You know what else that night, Dibs? You know me. I like beer.
Yeah.
I had a couple gin and tonics that night.
Look at him.
I'm going to be honest, though. I felt it a little bit the next day.
Yeah, you did.
I got to go back to that light beer or the lager beer.
And gin will tap you on the shoulder at about 12:30 a.m. like no other liquor. Gin will, like tequila, you know, and whiskey comes knocking. And tequila... It comes knocking. If you've had too much gin, it's a tap on the shoulder. You wake up at 1:17 with that, I can go for a glass of water, and you open your eyes. It's like, damn, this is gin and tonics. I got to stick to vodka.
Dude, we were in Hawaii, Steiny, at Benihana's, and you know I was with some squares, and my brother-in-law don't drink much, and the guy said, anybody want drinks? I can't break me gin. I wasn't sharing. They just kept giving me the evil eye, but yeah. Next morning, Steiny, you ain't 21, Goo. I had to tell myself that, yeah.
I
kept going, though.
My dad's got some family on that. Some family like that on his side.
That's his third one. You know, looking at me. Yeah.
You know, they lead the league in church attendance and all that stuff. And
we
go over there for Thanksgiving, and it would be like, hey, Maddie, would you like a Diet Coke? I'm like, first of all, it's not Maddie. I'm 24 now. Secondly, I'll take a beer. Oh, we don't keep beer in the house.
Wow.
Don't keep beer in the house.
And get this, guys, and I'll end it with this. I'm next to the great Ray Parker Jr. The bill comes, and they put my $40 of drinks on his tab. He don't even whisper. He goes, these drinks are his, not mine. And I'm like, Ray, I thought we was boys, but damn, it's only a couple. That hurt me. No, I didn't tell nobody. I'm confessing now. He went out loud and like it was poison. Ma'am, you put his, like, it ain't that many, right? Might have been a four, but damn, keep it down.
Man, I thought Ghostbusters was a big hit.
Me too.
Man, that thing had to sell a million. That thing had to go gold.
That hurt me the way he was overzealous. Like, you ain't working at AT&T, dog. Come on. you made man.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great. We also throwing around, we got a minute or two before we take a break. So we're talking about the Mount Rushmore of sitcoms. We're each going to give one here and there. My first one was Seinfeld. I tell you what, here's my second one. And it's recently overtaken.
I was in the pool!
Cheers. Veep. Veep. With
what?
Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
With who?
Is that a funny show? Julia Louis-Dreyfus, thank you. She was Elaine in Seinfeld. She is incredible in that.
Veep?
She is so profane.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
She is so edgy. It is unbelievable.
What station did he come on?
I think it's a Netflix Veep? Job, maybe.
Oh, okay. So it's rather
HBO.
HBO. You're right. You're right. HBO.
Wow. All right.
I'll tell you what, Spadone. You know your way around a TV. Holy Toledo.
He's got kids.
Had a toddler in the pandemic.
Back to sleep, Benny.
So go ahead. Give me another one for you guys, and we'll get out of here.
For what me, Dibs, number Happy Days, Arthur Fonzarelli.
Oh.
I mean, it was going down the aisles. I mean, it happened. I forget the song, but yeah, it's Happy Days. That's my second one. Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Happy Days. Thursday, Friday, Happy Days. And then something about the weekend.
Yeah.
And then
shout out to Potsy and Richie Cunningham. Yeah.
No, it's pretty good. I was more of a Laverne and Shirley guy at the time, but I don't know if I can necessarily put that on the mount. You know, it's tall cotton when you talk about getting on the mount. Just like, you know, if I want to go one for the throwback, I'll go MASH, which it was a little bit of a comedy / drama. It did have dramatic elements to it, but that's one that we would watch, my dad and I, so I'm gonna put MASH on there.
I never got into MASH. I never got into MASH. And I remember what their season, their finale of all time,
forever.
Is still like one of the most watched shows ever. Yeah. The helicopter, Radar, when there was a priest involved and I believe a cross-dresser in that. Jamie Farr?
Yeah.
Jamie
Mulcahy
Farr.
And Klinger and Radar. Yeah. You're right there.
That's great.
There you go. All right. We come back. Hey, what's going on down in L.A.? The San Francisco 49ers are practicing against the L.A. Chargers. We got some news out of that we're going to talk about on the other side. And then coming up in 30 minutes, Nirav Pundia, he's a doctor. And we're going to get some – he's got great information. He'll have some on Clay Thompson. And even we're going to ask him about some stuff going on with Trent Williams that Guru's a little concerned about. But I'm really looking forward to talking to him because we have conflicting accounts of what they saw on that Clay Thompson video. I'll also talk about that on the other side on 95.7 again.
Steiny, you're fired.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
I wonder why I think that's so funny, but I do. Every
and
time
I don't like it,
Maybe it's because I'm like, yeah, that's funny. Steinmetz getting fired. Who has the gall? Hey, man, let me tell you something. You effed up when you put the station together, man.
Whoa, yeah.
We're having a good time today, and I hate to spoil it, but I have to, Goo. In the interest of news, Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee, friend of the show. Deebo Samuel checked himself out of practice. He's walking slowly back toward the sideline after getting checked out by the training staff. Boy, between that and Trent Williams getting his knee drained. Oof.
Now, well, Trent Williams is fine because you said he's going to play the first series or expected to, but I don't know, Dibs. I'm not trying to make jokes here. Water is wet. Deebo is hampered a tad bit. Hopefully it's nothing, but damn, man, this dude, I know he's violent when he runs or whatever he does, but just, I mean, can we go, you know, a couple weeks without him being something wrong with the body?
No. I mean, we could talk about Jalen Hurd if you want, who is still unable to get on the field. And Trent Taylor, I don't even know if he's still on the team. He's been hurt so much. But it's more than just their team. It's the nature of pro football. But the Deebo Samuel one is more troubling to me than the Trent Williams. Trent is a veteran who, you know, if he's not ready for week one, then I'll worry. You don't need to see anything from Trent Williams in preseason and in joint practices. You know that he is a, you know, surefire Hall of Famer. And I don't know if you saw the footage of Joe Staley at practice.
Yeah.
But he looks like a middleweight. He's got to be down about 80 pounds.
You know what? I got to follow up on that. And I would love to know how that's done. You know who else was the exact? Joe Thomas has done the exact same thing. The future Hall of Famer who played for the Browns. There's a way to, like, those linemen who are 280, 290, 300, and then they want to get back down to, like, 240, they got to do that in a really monitored way almost to do what those guys have done. I saw him, too, and I almost didn't recognize him. It's pretty incredible. But you guys, I guess it's easy for you guys to lose 40 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, 20-30 is different than 70-80, that's for sure. You know, I lost about 25-30, and, you know, you plateau, and you try to lose another 15-20, and that's where the real work begins. So, I mean, for Joe Staley, and those guys, he's playing at, like, you know, he's probably about 310 when he concluded his career. He was probably bigger earlier, but now he's probably down at, you know, 250, and that's just pure lifestyle change. Those guys eat and they bulk up to stay big. And once you stop trying to stay big, you can lose it pretty quick. Unfortunately for guys like me, you know, now in my 50s, if you try to, quote, stay big, it's pretty easy to stay big at our age.
He's fat.
Yeah, totally.
It's not absolutely very easy. Very easy. Hey, by the way, you know what? We didn't talk about this. The NBA schedule's coming out today. Hopefully we'll be getting that around noon. We'll be able to see some of the Warriors' longer road trips, when certain teams we want to see are in town.
And, see if JD can memorize it before they actually play it. Huh? There you go.
I mean, WTF.
I wonder. Just keeping it on hoops for a minute. So Klay Thompson put out a video, guys, of him shooting. I guess it was on Instagram. And it was about a 5-second video where I think he took a dribble, raised up a hair, and it was funny because he came down on his left foot, and we talked about, I just have to share this, we talked about it this morning before the show, and Guru was like, did you see Klay Thompson? He looks great. I'm psyched. He's coming back. Dibbs saw the exact same video and said, ooh, I don't like what I just saw.
Amazing.
And I looked at it and was like, yeah, okay, that's all right. It's so funny. We had just
you were on the fence.
Yeah, of course, of course. I was like, yeah. I
don't have
right.
a strong opinion.
I didn't have. I actually did not have a strong opinion of the video.
I'm not an expert. Yeah, but Dibs, to your point, how I took the video, and it's amazing what a set of eyes can pick up. I took him not landing on that leg as he was hot dogging it. Like, he was hot dogging to let us know, I don't need to do it the conventional way. I'm so advanced and further down the road than a lot of people think, Steiny. I'm a hot dog this three. I hear Dim say, hey, Goo, I didn't like it. And it was like our doctor we're about to have coming on here soon. Dibs, that was very astute.
Well, just, you know, being a guy who's got a variety of injuries at all time. Right now I'm nursing a calf strain, and I know that if I was to have to rise up and try to shoot a jumper, I would want to land on my good leg if I could, because, you know, it looked like to me, you know, he caught it in the corner. He went up and shot it. He was in the right corner. So normally when you shoot from the right corner, your right foot would come down first because you're shooting off your right hand and, you know, you're jumping off two. If your feet don't land simultaneously, the foot that would be closer to your shooting hand would land first. But in this case, he actually went the other way and kind of raised his right leg up. And to me, it looked like he was trying to protect it. That's all.
Wow.
Well, you know what else, too, is if you close your eyes and imagine Klay, you know, he's got that thing where after he shoots it, he'll almost hop a couple times,
right,
but he uses both feet. And I, you know, we're going to have, like we said, Dr. Nirav Punji on later to talk about what, if anything, he can discern from that video. But it was, you know, he was kind of hopping on that left foot. So we'll see. I mean, it is kind of interesting, though. You see him kind of shooting around and you're like, wow, he, you know what? He's shooting, right. But there's so much more. Yeah. Like, we didn't see him do, you know, I'd like to see him do defensive slides, for example, or stuff.
He may not even
like
be
that.
Able to do that, Stein.
I don't know. You know, I have no idea where he is. And again, that's where the good doctor's going to help us out, because one of the things, and when we have him on, I'll pass along his Twitter handle to everybody. But what the doctor also does, which is really cool, is he'll say something like, James Wiseman is now 4 months past, let's say, where he had surgery. This is where he should be. Not specifics, because there's always a lot of wiggle room there, but he's a great follow. I'll get you that Twitter handle in a while. Trey Lance taking reps with the first teamers today down in L.A. He was able to he ran a whole series or a whole drive, I should say. What does it mean? Does it mean anything? Does it mean the window's still slightly cracked for him to get the starting job? Or is it just a case of, look, Jimmy Garoppolo's been here 4 years. We know what's going on. Dibs would, like, when you heard that he got reps with the first team, I mean, does it perk your ears up at all?
No, not really. I mean, it's part of the maturation of Trey Lance. And I famously put my son Quest through an alphabet, Goo. It was called the pet alphabet, where he wanted a dog. And I told him, okay, if you can make it from A to Z through a series of, you know, showing responsibility, not only with pets, but with your own life, you get to Z and I'll get you a dog. Well, you know, spoiler alert, he never made it to Z. He made it to about I and he got a cat. And that's where we are now. And he's a resentful 20-year-old. So shout out Cliff. Yeah. But with Trey Lance, you're trying to get him from A to Z. A is you draft him and you bring him in the program and you start him in the system. Z is you're our new starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. Well, part of the process is, you know, graduating him slowly, getting him first team reps. And that's where we are now, where he gets a whole series with the first team. And if he shows that he can handle it, then you move on to the next step. It's like the pet alphabet, Goo.
Yeah, I like that, and I'll use my own family as an example, Stoney. My 16-year-old daughter, Milan, just got her permit. I let her drive, but that doesn't mean she can go anywhere she wants. I'm in the car, oh my gosh. But at the end of the day, I think this is just like a reward or a bone that Kyle's given to Trey. Now, they are entirely two different quarterbacks. My preference is Trey. He does a lot of things Jimmy doesn't. But I stepped back, and I was like, what has Jimmy got to do to make this shock of a switch happen? And we haven't seen that with one series, Dibs. And you guys told me the other day that Kyle basically said practice is more important than the game. So let's say he lights it up in the practice where the public doesn't see. I'm still rooting for the kid, but I just know there's nothing to see here, Steiny, because Jimmy hasn't failed enough to have a kid, a rookie, supersede his resume of, when I'm healthy, guys, I took you to the bowl and was 6 minutes away. So I still think it's nothing to see here. But Kolsky said something yesterday on DRK that stayed with me, because they were talking about how bold of a move this would be if it were Trey. And Kolsky said, and I felt him, the bold move was drafting his ass. And I'm in that camp. Like, once you drafted him, I told you guys, you get rid of Jimmy. Give him the keys now. But it doesn't seem to be going that way, Steiny. Tim will be under center come Detroit week 1. And I just hate I got that excited. But the future's coming.
Well, what I'm thinking about now is that whole rookie quarterback class. And caught a little glimpse of Mac Jones yesterday. For the Patriots, 13 for 19, 146 yards.
Man.
And, of course, no, I shouldn't say of course, but he looked good. There's just no doubt. He looked Mac Jones.
He's going to the rap song. Yeah,
I know.
I just wanted to make sure.
I don't know the specifics, but I know that there's something like that. So Mac
Spadoni's too caught up in this Pennsylvania meltdown. Your boys are, yeah, they're giving it up, Steiny.
7-2, Steiny.
And I think this draft class will forever be intertwined with one another. And when you get Mac Jones, who, Mac Jones, having such a great, reach me on the phone, Mac Jones. He had such a big performance in a meaningless preseason game. But if he goes on to have a huge rookie year, and let's say that Trey Lance doesn't ever wrestle the job from Jimmy G this year, and Mac Jones leads the Patriots to the playoffs, Niner fans are going to be eating a lot of humble pie, a lot of crow.
But, Dibs, wouldn't that be unfair? Because Steiny made the point in the green room that, you know, Steiny, what if he is the one that's the odd man out? I'm talking about Trey. He's the last one to get the keys to the car. But like Dibs just said, they're going to be intertwined for the next 5 to 8 years. So, yeah, some will have a head start and a chance to take the team deep in a playoff run. But Trey, it won't be because they had a 1 year a head start, if you get what I'm saying. Because there is no doubt in my body that Trey Lance will be the Niners starter next season. And I could totally be wrong if Jimmy takes him and wins the Super Bowl, but I'm feeling that way.
You want to hear my – and that is my hot take, is Trey Lance will be the only rookie of the of the five drafted that won't start opening day, or, you know, the season opener. Because Justin Fields got a shot.
A real shot.
And
Cam good yesterday, though.
Well, that's what I thought. I said to Kyle, I was like, Cam's going to start for New England. And he said, I don't know. But, and you're right. No, you're right. It's going to be, these guys are going to have careers.
On the call, Ross
Tucker. But you cannot tell me if Trevor Lawrence starts and Wilson starts and those two other guys start and Trey Lance doesn't. I mean, you know what's going to happen, Goo. And you know, you might be in the middle of it.
Oh. Because he got the booby prize of going to a spot that had a team ready to do something and a quarterback that was worth a saw. Andy Dalton and the corpse of Cam Newton. I'm rooting for Cam, Dibs. So I'm not holding that against the rook, man. I'm really not. His day will come.
Just don't be the one. And Steiny's intimating that you will be the one.
And man, I'm mad at that. Yeah,
Trey Lance. How can you not beat out Jimmy G? You're the only rookie not getting the start. I mean, Jimmy, how do you get beat out by Jimmy G? And there will be some of that. And, you know, fans will be beating the drum. If Jimmy G struggles or if the Niners lose, then the talk will be,
That's different.
You know, okay. Kyle should have started him, you know.
But aren't we talking about – I'm sorry. I don't feel like there's much difference among – a lot of people make that mistake. I'm going to use three people here. So that then you use among rather than between, like a lot of people will say mistakenly. What's the difference between Garoppolo, Newton, and Dalton? See, that's wrong. You have to say what's the difference among Garoppolo, Newton, and Dalton. What I'm trying to get at, guys,
is – I could not care less.
They're in the same group. Like – you really think Garoppolo's a lot?
Cam was the MVP on his best day.
Right, but we're using just now, right now. Right. You think Garoppolo's significantly better than those other two guys? Dalton or Newton?
Wow. You know what? You guys are going to laugh. What I saw from Cam last year, I'd give Jimmy the edge.
I would, too, based on last year. Absolutely.
Andy Dalton, you saw what he did in Dallas when I tried to say he was better than Dak.
Hold on, Goo. Hold on. Your boy is distracted.
Oh, yeah. It's going bad.
What is going on? What is going
on? It's a massacre.
What is going on?
10 run rule
here?
Might be in effect. 10 run rule is going on, Steiny.
I'm trying to do a show here.
And I keep thinking I said something, but it's the game.
Exactly. I'm like saying stuff, and like I got Dibley laughing, and I'm like, huh. I didn't think it was that funny, but
it's on Spadoni, but I can't.
Speaking from personal experience right now, I think Dibs checked out when the rest of us did when you went Captain English lesson.
Oh, wow.
With Among in between, yeah. Kyle's putting it right on the table.
We have been discussing this Little League game among ourselves.
Kyle caught the rat.
Well played, Kyle.
What's a damn score?
Among Kyle Spadoni and I, we are baffled at how the a 12-year-old first baseman failed to step on the bag.
By the way,
we're locked into this game between Pennsylvania and Oregon. See, Steiny, we are listening.
Among the three of us, we are locked in.
And I'll reference the great Dick Tidrow, who recently passed. You're no Dick Tidrow because you had that Pennsylvania pitcher going straight to double-A baseball from Williamsport.
Oh, he
looks
stinks.
Like he's got some trouble.
Well, the skipper pulled him a little early, in my opinion. Read my blog. I'll have a full details.
Love it.
Yeah. But
speaking of which, Donnie, how's yours coming along, that old blog?
I wrote it about 9 days ago.
Oh.
About three paragraphs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't. Yeah, it was about.
Progress?
What was it about? I just said I'm all in on Ben Simmons. You know what? I don't even, like, put it on Twitter and say, hey, I wrote some more new stuff. I just write it and, you know, nine
people. How does it grow if you don't do that?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't. Oh, no, it doesn't. It doesn't grow at all. Yeah, you get about 12 people. 12 was my high, I think, in the last week or two. I just don't publicize it. I could probably bump that up to about 43.
I don't mind the length.
You know, I,
that's great.
Three paragraphs.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, you know what, take your computer to the coffee shop, you know, I'll let you in a little insight on my life. You know, my daughter's playing soccer in Walnut Creek, which is a little hall from where I am, so when you take her to practice, you got to linger or hang out in Walnut Creek for an hour and a half or so, which is kind of, you know what, not bad, by the
way. Rooftop!
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something, I discovered another place last night, pretty cool in Walnut Creek, off the beaten path, but what I'm getting at is, just take the computer and bang out a couple things and send it. Yeah, but I can't even do that. I was going to write about Draymond Green from yesterday, but I was like, I'm talked out about that. And, you know, and so, yeah, how's the blog coming? Yeah, it's not. It's not coming. Let's put it that way. So
you should do an entry about your various rides on your stationary bike, you know, and you could do a whole thing on what you see on your bike rides. There's content right there.
You know what? Where did I go yesterday? I went all over California. They have one where you can go to I saw the Joshua Tree.
Wow.
I saw Mount Shasta.
Too.
It was a long ride. I saw Mount Shasta, some of Tahoe. It's really cool.
Wow.
It's absolutely really cool. No,
it's a drop, Steiny. I'm all ears.
I know what it is. But anyway, get back to Lance. So he's taking some snaps with the first teamer. So we'll see how that works out today. The one thing I did want to ask you guys about is, you know, these team practices against each other.
Joint.
How many fights are there going to be? I mean, fights. And here's another fight. And here were three during this guy's. And what are we doing? What are we doing with the fights? This always happens. So is it worth it even?
Yes.
John Gruden called off practice yesterday.
And lost his team. Go ahead, Dibs. I'll say
what?
I'll wait for you.
I'm fighting for my life. You know, if I'm number 55 on an NFL roster and I know I'm on the bubble, then I'm going to play to the echo of the whistle. I'm going to play as hard as I can, even after the fact. I'm going to get that extra push in, that extra hit in. I'm going to show that I've got that edge. Take me, coach. Pick me to be a special teamer. And that's where most of these fights happen on special teams, because you got young players, guys who aren't rostered, who are trying to fight like heck to make the team. It's part of the natural evolution of the process.
And what about Cam Newton yesterday? Prime example, I guess some DB who's a nobody is mouthing off to him, calling him Captain Checkdown. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, Cam is trying to fight for the job. That's a travesty in itself. And I'm thinking, like, that would, if I'm Cam, I would want to go at that dude for trying to embarrass me out loud. But John Gruden, and I think of Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson and Bill Walsh, they know what it takes. These dudes are full of Lord knows what in their bodies, testosterone running through the roof. Of course they're going to fight. And then Gruden steps to the podium like he's a school teacher or a nun and says, I don't know what that was about. Well, let me tell you something, John. You just lost half your locker room because you're basically calling them thugs and mavericks. To me, that would have pissed me off. Like, coach, we got into a fight, but understand understand now. This is a gladiator sport. How are you going to sit there and say, maybe say, hey, I know it's competitive. They lost their temper. We can't do that. But he just went Steiny like he was anti-football. And if I were a player for him, he would lose me, man.
Oh, come on. The reason he was PO'd was because it was a guy who's not going to make the team. It was probably two Scribinis who aren't going to make the team.
Fighting for their life.
That's great, and they ruined it for everybody. and that pissed him off. I mean, it's like the 15th man on your roster, Nico Mannion, gets into it with Smiley Geach, and the next thing you know, haymakers are being thrown, and Steve Kerr's got to cancel practice before the big game against the Lakers. Wow. That's the way I read it.
It's like Bobby Portis Nikola
Mirotić.
Thank you, Mirotić. Mirotić. Portis basically caved his face in, and then you had to do something about it. Bobby Portis, practice tough guy, coming at Mirotić like that.
So, Steiny, you're okay if it's a star. Then if it were Ray Lewis, nothing to see. See, I don't like coaches doing that. And although it may have been the guy trying to make the team, in that instance, you got to treat everybody the same. So if it was Ray Lewis or practice got called, you'd think John Gruden would have went to the mic and said the same thing?
No. See, but Ray Lewis is different than some guy who played Division II who's, you know, the 82nd guy who just happened to hang around. I had no problem with what he said. He was basically like, you know what he was saying? He was like, oh, my God, really? Another fight? Like, the easiest thing to do was get into a fight at those things. So it's like, I just think he kind of – I didn't mind what he said at all, to tell you the truth. But we can agree to disagree
there. Yeah, we're different.
Yeah, we are. All right, on the other side, here's what's coming down. We've got Dr. Nirav Pungia coming on. He's going to talk about some stuff going on around the Bay Area with our athletes and with their health. We're going to talk about Klay Thompson, who sent out a video yesterday of him shooting around in a gym. Came down on his left foot, and on his left. He didn't put any weight on the right, but he seemed to be moving halfway decent. We'll see if we can discern anything from that. And we're also going to talk about Trent Williams and see if we can alleviate some of Guru's worry about Trent Williams getting his knee drained and what that may or may not mean. We're also going to talk a little bit about the NBA schedule, which may be released momentarily. And as soon as it does, we will have it for you. All right, that's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, and it's sponsored by Stanford Healthcare.
Dan Dibley here. Squirt.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. I'd like to introduce Dr. Nirav Pundia. He's the associate professor at UCSF of Orthopedic Surgery. He's also the director of sports medicine at Benioff Children's Hospital. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. They can follow. Where can people follow you on Twitter? Because you got a great feed there.
Awesome. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. You can follow me at Dr. Nirav Pundia, just my name with the doctor in front. So happy to share information about what's going on with our athletes.
Sounds great. Klay Thompson put out a little snippet of a video yesterday where he was taking a jump shot. Looked like he came down on his left foot. Kind of kept his right foot off the ground a little bit, and we got two guys here that kind of are looking at that differently. What can you discern from something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I know when that video came out, a lot of people were concerned that he's landing on a leg, and I think the most important thing is that when we're looking at how an Achilles heals, you want to see how someone's elevating or jumping off. And you look in that video, Clay's jumping off, he's elevating. The fact he's not landing on his right leg, wouldn't be super concerned about that. You're more worried about the lift off with the Achilles. And in sort of a weird way, the fact that he's landing on the left leg, which is his ACL, which we totally forget about, is showing that he's really landing on it really well. So I'm not super concerned about it. I'd be more worried if he wasn't jumping off of both legs. But he had good elevation, was running. So I think he's right where he should be.
Is the staggered nature of the two injuries almost good news in that he would have had time to heal his ACL almost completely before the Achilles happened on the opposite side?
Absolutely. It is a little bit of a blessing in disguise, because when you look at ACL recovery, even though you kind of get back at 9 months, it's 9 months to about a year and a half where you really need that time for it to heal. So he had time for his ACL to completely heal, didn't have to worry about pushing that back, and then had the Achilles. So I think the ACL is not a concern anymore. And with the right time frame with the Achilles, I think he's going to be good to go a little bit into the season.
Doctor, keep up the good work, man. I love what you do. Let me ask you this, because I'm hearing this more with these athletes and their comebacks. Their specific area that they got hurt, okay, you know that's the focus area, but then it's almost expected now to expect the body to overcompensate in another area, and so to expect something else, not as drastic. And I say to myself, well, if nothing was wrong in the other areas and you know you're rehabbing, can you manipulate the body to where that's not a possibility, or is that just impossible to do? Because I think of Kevin Durant, although it was his Achilles, he pretty much got through the season scot-free. I mean, he had a hamstring issue for a little bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that the key is really taking that extra time. And I know when everyone talks about Clay and they're like, oh, why is it a year? You know, so-and-so got back at 8-9 months. It takes that good 3 to 4 months for the make sure you're not trying to get back too quick and using another part of your body to compensate for it. So I think part of this is really just making sure that you're in shape, all the muscles are firing. And I think when you look at Achilles, a lot of the players who didn't do well after that injury rushed back too quickly. You look at 8 to 9 months. And I think Durant really showed that if you wait longer than that 9 to 10 months, it's going to set you up for success.
Dr. Nirav Pandya joining us right now on 95.7 The Game. What you know how the game of basketball is played. Seeing Klay Thompson, what do you think is going to be the most difficult part of on that injury in playing basketball? What would be, in other words, the last probably toughest thing to get back to normal on?
I think it's going to be the defense. The way, in terms of the offensive game, the fact that he's more of a 3-point shooter, he's not, elevating up to the rim. I think his offensive game is going to come back pretty quickly. I worry about the defensive end where he's going to be making those quick movements, being fatigued coming off the offensive floor. So I think that's going to be number one. And I think number two is just, we always assume Clay is the Iron Man. He's coming in minute 30, 35 and playing really well. I think it's going to be the third and fourth quarters, particularly early on in the season, where he's going to struggle a little bit, just getting that endurance back. But I think the three-pointers, the shooting game is going to come back really quickly. It's the defense and late in the game where he may struggle early on.
Is part of that the nature of the sport where on offense, inherently, it's a split second, but what you're going to do, and defensively, you're more in a reactionary mode. Is that part of what happens from a structural standpoint to the body, where defense is going to be harder to adjust to just based on the fact that you don't know what you're going to have to do?
Yes, absolutely. I think from a healing standpoint, it takes a while for the body to get used to that. And the mental standpoint, I mean, Clay can pretty much, for the most part on offense, like you mentioned, predict, this is where I'm going to move, I'm going to shoot, I'm controlling my body. But on defense, getting that confidence back with an ACL and an Achilles both is where it's going to be a little bit more of a struggle, both physically and mentally as well, too. Even though, he seems to be, of all the players, the one that's going to be least mentally affected, by something like this.
Doc, let me ask you about Clay's teammate that I'm very concerned about, and that's James Wiseman. He tore his meniscus, but yet he's so young. Is that injury has no doesn't discriminate, but the fact that he's young, does that give you confidence he'll be ready to go? Because we're hearing whispers that he may not be there opening night. If that's the case, how do you look at that?
Yeah, I think the fact that he was young and the fact they actually repaired the meniscus, meaning they kept everything in there, is a good sign for him. And being young, your meniscus is more likely to heal. And you hear about players having problems after meniscus surgery. It's where they've shaved the whole bunch out and there isn't much left there. So I think those are the factors working in his favor. I think in terms of the timeline, most people are ready to go 6 months after surgery. So that puts him right around middle of October when the season starts. So I think, when he starts playing, particularly to see how the knee responds, it may not necessarily be, the 20, 25 minutes that you're expecting. It may be, a little bit slower going on. And that may be hard for someone like him who's trying to incorporate back into the offense and back into the team. But I think he's going to be well. I mean, at a 19, 20-year-old, that's like the ideal age you want to be when you have a surgery like this, because you're going to heal and you're getting all that muscle strength back at the same time.
Dr. Nirav Pandya joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's the director of sports medicine at Benioff Children's Hospital. He's also the associate professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF. Let me hit a couple guys here. Chris Bassett was hit in the face by a line drive. He has no brain, I guess, or eye. You know, it's not as severe, I guess. What is it? Is it possible that he could pitch this year, or is that a little too optimistic?
No, I think it's absolutely possible. I mean, typically with those kind of injuries, you get the surgery done usually by about 6 weeks or so. If things are healed up. I think the tough part, the mental aspect of it, I mean, is he going to be ready to go up and face, you know, face live batters again? But from a structural healing standpoint, as long as everything goes well, which I assume it will, there's a possibility he could be back for the playoffs because, you know, as long as you're good to go by that six-week mark and he's ready to throw, I think he'll be able to potentially be able to play.
One myth about ankles is that once you sprain your ankle enough times, you really can't sprain it again. I'm thinking about Steph Curry and his myriad ankle injuries early in his career. It seems now that he's able to bounce back more quickly. Is it a case where once you stretch your ligaments out to a certain point that your general garden variety sprain no longer applies?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You're more likely to kind of have those slight little, you know, events where it kind of twists. But what ends up happening when things are stretched so much, the amount of secondary damage that occurs because they just slip so easy doesn't happen. So what you worry about with an athlete is that they're more likely to kind of have, you know, something stumble, maybe be out for a little bit and then come back. So I think a lot of what happened with Steph is that he worked on all the muscles around those ankles. So number one, it wouldn't happen. And number two, he wouldn't have as much irritation. So definitely you don't get the same amount of swelling and pain every time it happens, but it can happen more frequently. It's just not as serious.
Doc, let's talk Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he had the high ankle sprain that kept him out, and everything's, you know, seems like systems ago. But I'm asking you, do we have to wait till he gets tackled or hit before we really find out truly how that injury is healed? Or are you confident, you know what, he's had ample time off, nothing to see here? How does that work with the high ankle sprains?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think with non-contact athletes at this point, you'd be pretty confident. Look, you're even a basketball player, for someone like LeBron, you're pretty confident that a high ankle at this point is going to be healed. But for a football player, it's really when you get that impact on there to really see how it responds. So even seeing how last season went with him, where it seemed like he had healed and then it got worse again, I really think it's going to be the first couple of games, if he's starting, we'll really get a sense of that injury is still bothering him because it seemed to linger on a good part of the season.
Last one for you, Doctor. You look at Tom Brady, who's still playing, LeBron, obviously, and we always wonder how long is Steph Curry going to play and going to be able to play at a high level. Are there any studies that you're aware of, or is there any way to project the kind of athlete that may last longer in a sport than another kind of athlete, or is that just whimsy?
No, you know, I think the one thing we can say is kind of looking at prior injury history. I think in general, people who have a lot of injuries will kind of break down. I think the other thing as well, too, is looking at, you know, what did they do when they were younger as well, too? I mean, were these people who are pounding away since age 9, 10, or 11? So when you look at someone like Steph, who necessarily wasn't part of that traditional AAU circuit when he was 11 or 12 and already had a bunch of mileage on him when he was in college, I think athletes like that, you can expect them to play into their late 30s, potentially even their 40s. So I think all things considered, I think we got, you know, good 3 to 4 years of Steph remaining, barring any major injury.
Actually, I lied. I do have one more, and I'm sorry.
Oh, here, look at you. I had like five more. So
okay,
you,
well, go ahead, Dibs. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask about my lower calf injury as it pertains to some ice or heat, Doc. I'll keep it offline. But go ahead, Steiny.
Well, now I forgot what I was going to say.
Man, it's a shame. Short-term memory loss, Doc. I'm concerned about my partner.
How about, you can't treat Dan. Yeah, you know.
How about Trent Williams getting his knee drained? What does that mean?
Yeah, no, that's a great question and a lot of concern about that. I mean, the fact that the 49ers haven't reported that he got an MRI, you know, as far as we know, is probably the best marker of it. I mean, a lot of times your knee can swell up even from an impact, and it's not necessarily something inside the joint. So it could just be like a bursitis or something like that. Also, we have to understand that, you know, back, I think it was 2017 when he was with the Washington football team, he had surgery on that knee. So it might be something he's been dealing with and knows that every now and then this gets swollen. The fact that no one really seems concerned and they haven't got an MRI, I think he'll be good to go for the beginning of the season.
I appreciate it, Doc. And I was going to showcase my sternoclavicular knowledge, but we're up against it here. We'll just leave that one there.
Yeah. Thank you, Doc.
Hey, you know, actually, I really do. I've remembered my other question.
Oh, look at you.
you're a proponent of kids playing multiple sports as opposed to playing only one. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why?
So, you know, I think for a couple reasons. Number one, it drastically decreases your risk of getting an injury, so you want to keep kids healthy. But I think number two, the more important thing for people who are looking at professional athletes, if you actually look at your success as a professional athlete, how long your career is going to be, playing multiple sports increases that probability. So keeping you healthy as a kid, and if you want to make it professionally, play multiple sports to improve your career length and your performance.
Thank you, doctor. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Man, what's the copay, Doc? We may have to pass the hat here. That was some good information. Man,
great info.
Man. Yeah, check my deductible. Seriously.
That was Dr. Nirav Pandya. He is the director of sports medicine at Benioff Children's Hospital. He also is an orthopedic surgeon at UCSF. So
I'll tell you what, not to leave with this, Donnie and Dibs, but you go tell the people and the parents. I've lived it. The AAU, the baseball fields, they are one-trick ponies now, Dibs. It's like the parents smell the money. They want the money or the scholarship. It's like pick little Johnny. You used to have a choice, but the parents are doing it for him. It's sad. In your voice, Donnie, it's sad. Remember that?
And
one?
It's like a 1 in 10,000 chance that they even get a college scholarship, let alone they go pro.
Right.
And, you know, for who? For what? So you're going to put your kid in 10-month or 11-month-a-year soccer or baseball or basketball, and you're going to try to specialize them and train them for that. And then they get an injury, and a repetitive injury, because they're overusing those muscles. When we were kids, there was no travel ball. You know, you played baseball from, you know, February till June. And if you made the All-Stars, you got to play during the summer. And if you didn't, well, then you got ready for basketball season. Or if you were a soccer player, soccer was in the fall. And you hey, Dad, I need some new soccer cleats. Okay. And you started playing soccer in August, and you played till November. And then basketball tryouts were in November, and you played till February. You know what I mean? Everything had a season, and you didn't tax your body too much. But nowadays, we have all these kids, and, you know, I'm locked in on the Little League, and, you know, some of these kids are playing baseball year-round, and they're 12.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station. It's all sponsored by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. You know what? That's a good point, because in my...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.